We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to the Gridiron Podcast. John Ramey with you. On this one, head coach Jay Norvell introduces us to the new safeties coach for the Wolfpack, Ronnie Wheat. His last stop, defensive analyst at LSU. He won a national championship earlier in calendar 2020. Hall of Famer Mike Edwards joins us as well. Here's our conversation.
I hope you got some history for us. I would be
disappointed. No, I have like recent history, but really just to set up a question. No presidential quotes this week.
That was classic last week. I like that one.
So, Coach, we had Coach Best on, and he had been at Rice most recently, and of course, John Kennedy gave a famous speech about the moonshot in 1962 at Rice Stadium. And he has this whole beautiful soaring rhetoric about why we choose to climb the highest mountain and why we choose to fly the Atlantic. And then he goes, why does Rice play Texas? And then he says, we choose to go to the moon. And so I could not resist a chance to work in presidential history, manned space flight, and college football. They don't all come together. And those are three things.
Not at once, no.
No.
Trifecta.
Yeah. Coach, we're rolling now, so anything you say can and will be used against you. In fact, let me give the intro now. Physically distant, but perhaps never closer. This is the Gridiron Podcast. The head coach, Jay Norvell. The Hall of Famer, Mike Edwards, and Ronnie Wheat. My only history about this is before I got the job in Nevada, I worked at UCLA, and so I had a unique perspective on Coach O, who was your previous head coach. And he like lost to a very good Bruins team, and it cost him a shot to be that full-time head coach there. And that was 7 years ago, and I'm not sure the Trojans have gotten anything right since then. Do you have any great Coach O stories?
Oh, I've got Coach O stories for days, but I don't know if I can tell. Coach O, he's an incredibly hard worker. I guess the one story I can tell you is his first practice at LSU, we're in a spring practice, and we're in a half-line run drill. And I'm just an analyst, a nobody, 29 years old. And I'm sitting there, and I just say, this loud. I'm like, we don't have a defensive end. And he looked at me, and I think he was embarrassed, but he cussed me all the way back to Mississippi, where I'm from. And I coached the defensive line here, and I said, yes, sir, you do. And so you know, I let it go. I mean, I'm used to being cussed out. You learn that early in coaching. And so inside, he's sitting at his desk. And he's kind of looking at me like, okay, who is this guy? Because I had just met him. And I go behind his desk and I give him a hug. And I'm like, hey, man, I know you coached the D-line. I was just trying to make sure we had 11.
Are you crazy, boy? You crazy?
And so ever since then, we were always on great terms. And he never really cursed at me at that point. It was always it's always pleasant for the most part. So that'd be the one story. The first time we really interacted, it was interesting. Yeah.
Oh, Coach Norvell, how'd you find this guy?
Well, when I was looking for defensive staff, I basically called everybody that I knew. I took the top 20 teams that play defense, and I found people on the staff that I knew, and I called them and I asked them for recommendations. And I actually worked with a couple guys at LSU that spoke really highly of Ronnie. And it was kind of crazy because we kind of talked on the phone and they were getting ready to play the national championship game. So, you know, they were one staff that was still playing ball. And so when I went to the convention, he was still working. And when I was going through the interview process, he was still working. And I was just really determined to visit with him. And so, you know, the process took a long time, several weeks when I was interviewing all the defensive coaches. And finally they play the national championship and win the game. And we got him out here, you know, a few days after that and spent some time with him, and he did an outstanding job. And everything that the guys told me about him was really true. You know, I love players and I love coaches that are like Swiss Army knives. I like guys that have a lot of different skills and that bring a lot to the table. And Ronnie is a fairly young coach, but he's had incredible experiences at the places that he's coached at. And he's been around some really great people that he's learned from, you know. And I'll never forget when I first started coaching, Barry Alvarez told me, he said, the most important thing is to be around people that know what they're doing, that have a lot of experience, and just learn. That's the best advice you can ever give somebody coming into this profession. And Ronnie's had some incredible experiences at LSU and coming up through the ranks. And he's done a fabulous job. He had a very, very important position there and really helped that whole program win a national championship. So we're excited that he can bring some of that knowledge and that work ethic here to Nevada.
Now, I'm going to let Mike talk, but I want to let Coach Wheat know. We all know the drill, but Coach Wheat, you have a beautiful background. It's Mackey Stadium from the east looking west with the sun going down behind the press box and the mountains, and it's spectacular. But just in case you weren't aware, this is audio only, so don't worry about your makeup. But I just want to make sure you knew that.
He's good though.
I had a beach for a while. A beach for a long time, then I changed this last week. And so I always tell everybody, everything out here is like a Bob Ross painting. So,
Wispy clouds, Sears clouds, brushing the sky. And
happy little trees, man. Happy little trees.
It's interesting on all these Zooms. You have all these backgrounds. You know, I stapled that to my wall. That's all I got.
There you go.
I don't know. I do background. It'd be one of my kids going, ah. So I don't have any of those. But hey, Coach. Quick question. First off, nice to meet you. One of these days we'll shake hands before the season starts, but nice to have you. Looking through the bio and plain old somebody on the couch going about defensive analysts. Well, what's the day in the life of a defensive analyst, especially being at LSU for 6 years? What's the day in the life? Seven.
Yeah, a day in the life is it's a lot of hours, number one. You want to be as efficient as possible. So my role at LSU kind of morphed as we added more people. And so in my final year, we had 8 analysts, 2 GAs that all worked underneath me. And so that's like a full-time coaching staff. And so part of what I did is make sure they understand the vision of the coordinator and the direction that he's going. So I was in charge of playbooks, the breakdown, practice scripts, practice structure. And so when you're just talking from the root of it, the playbook portion, you have to live inside the coordinator's head, basically. You have to know what they're thinking. And a lot of times you're getting position coaches on the same page with him because things are really, really busy. There's a lot of bullets flying around, especially during the season. And you want to make sure everyone's speaking the same language. And so a lot of what I did was pre-practice preparation. And then unfortunately, as an analyst, as the rules state, once you get on the field, you're not supposed to do anything. And so I was always pretty vigilant with following the rules and all that stuff. But everything leading up to it and then all of the opponent prep was in my wheelhouse. And so, you know, specifically when you're thinking of breakdowns and advanced scouting and things we're working on really hard right now at Nevada, you're looking at how to attack teams. And so, you know, I would sit there and you're watching clips of an offensive lineman, you know, a left tackle, and you watch the entire offensive line through like key play cutups of things they do good, things they don't do so good, and you write it up like you're an NFL scout. That's a big portion of that job outside of the breakdown once all the raw data entry is done, because what you want to do if you're doing your job at a high level as an analyst and now as a position coach, it's really very similar. There's a lot of carryover. It's very similar. Is you want to put your players in position to make plays, put them in positions to be successful, right? Well, that happens with film studies. So if I can tell a defensive end that this left tackle is going to overset you when you get in a wide jet rush stance, then that lets you know exactly how you're going to beat that offensive lineman. And so it's taking the strengths and the weaknesses of the opposing team, knowing them inside and out, and then being able to attack them. That would be the best way I would say that job is structured.
One of the things football is really changed. You know, when I first started coaching, I'll really date myself though. When I started being a GA, we used to cut the film, and then we had these nails all along the walls in the GA room, and we would hang all the powers and all the counters and all the zone plays and then we'd have to tape them back together. That's what our cut-ups were when I first started coaching. But the game has evolved so much, and so much of the game of football is situational, you know, first and 10, third and four, third and long, third and short, field zones. And there's a lot of tendencies in our game. You know, when you're at LSU or Oklahoma or Texas or USC, the stabs are just bigger. And Ronnie was in charge of like 10 people underneath him, and they all had walking orders, and he was directing them. And it was all in preparation for the game plan and really tracking those tendencies. And he worked arm in arm with Aranda, the coordinator, and putting the game plan together. And so all the information that he had to make decisions kind of went through Ronnie and his staff. And so it's the game has really changed. You know, you got analytics now, you got all these businesses out there that are tracking the information that happens on a football field, and they're affecting the game on the field. They really are. I mean, you know, they're help cutting the time that people have to spend to really evaluate an opponent and get a feel for what they do. And it's just the technology out there has changed so much. And if you ignore it, you're playing a different game than other people are playing. You know, it's like that old deal where Indiana Jones, where the guy's got a knife and the other guy's got a gun. I mean, you're playing a different game. And so you got to understand the numbers and how it affects decision-making during a game. You know, Ronnie's had incredible experience at the highest level on a team that went undefeated and won a national championship. And he was a big part of their preparation.
Coach Wheat, I saw you have Millsaps College on there, but I saw you played baseball there too.
Yeah. I played both sports there. So, you know, I had some opportunities to walk on at some Division I's and play football. The appeal of the Division III obviously was academically, I knew I could go and get a master's in business in 5 years. That was always the plan, even though it was really a way more expensive than I understood at the time. So that was number one. And then number two, I knew I'd have a chance to start as a freshman and play football and baseball. And so in football, we turned the program around, won a championship, a conference championship as a junior and senior. And then in baseball, my final year, we were ranked number one in the nation for about 4 weeks, which there's a lot of teams that play in Division III. It's like over 200. And so pretty cool experience for sure. And Millsaps, you know, a lot of people jokingly call it like the cradle of coaches. But in the time that I was there as a player and a coach, I think now there's like literally 13 coaches in Division I football and a couple in the NFL. And so, you know, Mike DeBose was the head coach for football, who he used to be the head coach at Alabama. And so he was fortunate to bring in a really good staff around him. And, you know, those guys are at Florida State and University of Houston and have been some different places. So the head coach at Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College just won a national championship, was there at the same time. So, yeah, the amount of people that I was around, the connection to get to LSU happened at Millsaps College. And so it kind of shaped and molded who I am now, for sure.
But I want to know about you as an athlete. What positions did you play in football and in baseball?
Football, I played a position called Rover. And so it's like an outside – I played outside linebacker on mixed downs, first and second down, rushing the passer. And I would also, like, kick and play corner. And then we went to sub package. I played inside, and then we had other packages where I would play a deep safety. So I moved around a lot. You know, athletically, I wasn't your typical Division III guy. I could run and do some things that a lot of guys in Division III really couldn't do. And in baseball, I was actually all-conference 2 years in a row in football. So first team my last year, I was all about pick sixes. So, you know, your rare linebacker that wanted pick sixes, that was me. Nice. Different. And then in baseball, I wasn't as good in baseball. I was a good player, but I wasn't like I was in football. And so, you know, I played in college, I played catcher and outfield. And most of the action that I saw was like reserve role in baseball. I played behind one of the all-time – he's on the D3 team of the decade in baseball, Hunter Owen, who's like the all-time leader in conference history in like home runs and stolen bases. If you know how – I mean, if you're a baseball guy, that's not typical. And so I played behind some really good players on the number one ranked team in the country for a while. And so did more watching than anything else in that one, but built good relationships with teammates. That's what it was more about. Looking back at it, you don't really, you know, when you're part of a baseball team, you kind of understand your role. And, you know, I was older then, so that was during graduate school. So what I did is GA'd in the fall for football and then went and played baseball in the spring while I was getting a master's in business. And so that was a busy time in life. But, yeah, definitely better in football than baseball, that's for sure.
That's funny because we've had some of the other coaches on, and they have kind of been very they've poo-pooed their playing career. But it's interesting that you would be an all-conference performer in football and still have the desire. I understand you were a GA when you were playing baseball, but still have the desire to compete and maybe be less of a star in another sport. I mean, you didn't have to do that. And a lot of people with egos wouldn't choose to do that. That's an interesting choice.
Yeah, I think ego is – there's a lot of evil in ego. I think the older you get, the more you realize that. I think that was a learning experience because I kind of thought I would go out and just start. But baseball is a different game. It's a little bit tougher than people realize. It's hitting a baseball is the single hardest thing to do in sports, maybe next to hitting a golf ball straight. But square for baseball is extremely tough. And so it was different to kind of take a back seat. And baseball is a little more time intensive than football in terms of like travel and things like that. So that was different. It was, but it helped because, you know, being a GA, you kind of learn, okay, especially in Division III now, it's not like I was doing it at a really, you know, prestigious place, Division I, you're in Division III now and you're packing the bags and getting Gatorades and stuff like that. So I think being a GA in the fall kind of prepared me for maybe a little dose of humble pie, probably what it was.
Coach Norvell, I mean, you bring all these coaches in with all this, you know, from bottom up type of grit type attitude. I like where we're going here with all these coaches. Yeah. It makes me very excited.
Well, he's a worker now. And, you know, this is a game, and you know this, Mike. I mean, you got to have a hunger and a real desire to work. And you know, for a guy like Ronnie, I mean, he's a self-made guy. I mean, he's made a great impression on the people around him in a short amount of time. And I mean, I just had people raving about him, about his ability to work, his ability to organize and present information. And, you know, and he's had a huge impact on a lot of our staff here. And, you know, I kind of came in, I actually created a new title for him. What title did I give you again? I'm trying to remember. It's
Director of Football Development or something like that.
Director of Football Development, I think it is. Development and study. But basically, Ronnie's really made an impact on our coaches and our younger coaches, especially as far as advanced scouting, their weekly work responsibilities, and the way that they can get information to the rest of the staff, and really kind of brought a whole new perspective here at Nevada. And so he's basically been in charge of our younger staff, and teaching them how to game plan, how to advance scout, which is a real art form, really. You know, to see tendencies of linemen and who's light, the different stances they get in, and maybe the quarterback gets in a little different stance when he's going to throw than when he's going to run, or the tailback gets in a different alignment. Those types of subtle things really make a difference when you're getting ready to play an opponent. And you know, Ronnie's done that at a extremely high level. You know, the difference in winning a game sometimes is one play. And so, you know, he's done a great job of that. And he's brought some different ideas to our staff that are a little new for us, that are really good. And I think it's been a great addition to our staff so far. I can't wait to get him on the field with our guys as well, and get back to working on the field. But really good. And, you know, one of the things with us, I don't think people really realize in our sport how much off-season preparation goes into the season. It's really unlimited. I mean, you can watch as much film as you want on opponents. You can study trends and tendencies. We have, you know, personal coaching backgrounds that we're looking at, because we have half of the coaches on these teams that are on our schedule were at different schools a year ago. And so, you know, we have to track, you know, Florida State's offense when we're playing Arkansas, and Missouri's defense when we're playing Arkansas. And so there's a lot of investigation and background that we're working on. And so all the different experiences that we have on our staff kind of help bring that preparation together and make sure we're getting ready in the right way.
So I already have a mnemonic device, right? A little learning or kind of an indicator thing already now for Coach Wheat. Just from hearing Coach Norvell describe your work style. No, this is just going to help me. Like you seem very, you're hip to the details, right? You seem to thrive in the granular kind of elements. Right? Like granular, like grains of wheat.
There it is.
Yeah, well, you said he's a worker. He's a grinder. Our Coach Wheat, is that all right?
He's a grinder.
Yeah, I'm good with it. We came full circle, right?
There you go. I like the science part.
I'm just trying to connect things, a narrative arc, you know.
Yep.
How is it coming to the West? Like, you're from Mississippi, you're coach. What's the learning curve like? Just, I mean, from the sports perspective, as well as just the cultural and the move in your family and stuff.
I think the biggest learning curve was just having a new recruiting area that I haven't really had before. So just developing relationships with these guys. I started as soon as I got here, literally as soon as I got here. And so, you know, my wife and my child weren't in town for the first month and a half. So I would – get up early. You know, they're 2 hours ahead, or they were, in Baton Rouge. So I get up at, you know, 4:15 every morning so I could see them before they left. And then you just stay up and you go work. And so, you know, you get a little meditation, get a little workout in. Coach Norvell and I would cross paths on that each morning. And then, you know, you just get after it. So the recruiting piece was a little bit of an adjustment just in terms of not having those contacts that I had. I had a couple contacts just from guys we had recruited nationally at the last spot, but not to the level that I needed to be. And so I've been working hard on that. And then moving to the West has not been – outside of the travel, you know, I traveled across the country like 7 or 8 times in a 2-month span, 2 of those being driving. And that was, I drove the moving truck. I don't know if I'll ever do that again. I don't think so. Yeah, that was not an intelligent decision. They gave
me once is enough. That's the
rule. Oh yeah. Yeah. Once is enough for sure. I'm good on that. So, wouldn't do that again. So not a whole lot of learning curve. The thing that I enjoy about being out here is everything's, number one, beautiful. Number two, there's no humidity. And so I always tell all the kids I'm recruiting from the Southeast, I'm like, man, there's no humidity and there's no mosquitoes. And when you talk to a kid from Louisiana, he's like, what? I was like, heaven to them, because they're like, huh? And I'm like, yeah, man, it's crazy. And so, you know, they're, as far as that goes, there's really been very, very few adjustments moving out here that we didn't really forecast. You know, being in the – I had been in Mississippi and Louisiana the entire 34 years I've been alive. And so, you know, we came out west for the – what was it, the Fiesta Bowl a couple years ago. And so, you know, I knew what Arizona was about. I had never been to Reno, Nevada. And so when I got here – like I was saying before my interview, I was like, wow, this is beautiful. And so the people that are in the program have made the adjustment very, very easy. You know, Coach Norvell is a great human being, and he surrounded himself with great human beings, good people. And like I said before, the culture is really good. So everything's been pretty seamless in a lot of ways outside of, you know, the virus and all that stuff. So I've enjoyed it. It's been fun.
You talk about adapting, and a lot of people from the South say, pull that Nevada stuff. And you said that nicely. I saw John shake his head in Nevada.
So
done good.
True story.
Done good.
True story. I'm getting ready for my interview, right? And Vince Hugg, our DFO, I'm like, where's the restroom? And he's like, here, I'll show you. And I'm like, all right. So before I go in, this is right before I'm about to present. I'm kind of nervous, you know. I looked at him like, so is it Nevada or is it Nevada? He's like, I was like, thanks, man. So I've got it right. So, cause that's the first slide was like Nevada football. You don't want that. Talk about start off on the wrong foot.
So, for sure.
Yeah. So we've got that down now. Everyone at home, I'm trying to teach them, you know, my dad will say, oh, how's it Nevada? And I'm like, dad, you know, it's Nevada. You're going to make people mad. And he's like, You're right. I'm going to get it right. So I have issues adjusting to it. You know, you got to make sure you're with the vernacular and you pronounce things the right way. So.
Nice. You said you had a wife and daughter, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. So wife and a daughter.
How old's your daughter?
Ava is 2.5. She turns 3 July 23rd. And so, crazy enough that we had an accident. She actually broke her leg like within a week of being here. We slipped on some stairs. That was an interesting experience to say the least. But she's out of the cast now and she's flying around. So she's my little savage. She's awesome. So we actually yesterday and long enough to read her a book for the Instagram Live deal. And we had to pump her full of candy. She doesn't get a lot of candy, but in order to make it happen. So
there you go.
The other 2.5-year-old out there.
That's right.
You know, those 2.5-year-olds, they're, there's no prefrontal cortex developed yet. Right. And so pew, 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 pew. It's kind of everywhere, but you just kind of roll with it and enjoy it.
I'm still waiting for mine to kick in.
Well, it's Coach, not fully developed until 25. That's the crazy part. Yeah. So,
yeah. You know. Coach, you went around to some season ticket renewal and had a social or physically distant little visitation. You got in the Beast, the GMC truck.
Yeah, that was
Buick GMC, leader of the pack. Yeah.
Chad was my co-pilot, and Yeah, we went around and saw probably half a dozen people that had renewed season tickets and got a chance to say thank you to them. And it was really cool. It was, I hadn't been out of the house in like a month and a half and or seen anybody. And, you know, we were smart. We were social distancing. You know, my mask, I was a bad on my mask just on me. So as I went through the day, but what a great time and got a chance to see some friends that are season ticket holders. And also was really great. We got a chance to see Coach Trachuk at the end of the day. We stopped by, we pulled the beast up to see Coach Trachuk and just had a, it was great to see him. He looked great. And, but no, it was good. It was good. And we want to, you know, give a big thanks to all our fans out there that have renewed their season tickets. And, you know, we had a meeting today with some officials, and you know, we're tentatively planning on having students back on campus in July, and so we're looking, you know, at July as a date when we could get players back working out. So, you know, we'll just keep our fingers crossed, and but we're looking forward to seeing everybody back at Mackey in September.
Thanks for listening to the Gridiron Podcast. For the Hall of Famer Mike Edwards, the head coach Jay Norvell, and the new safeties coach Ronnie Wheat, I'm John Ramey. This is Nevada football from Learfield IMG College.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.